Welcome to Inside Games, the only gaming news show brave enough to keep the price of our world-class gaming industry coverage the same in these trying times.
Yeah, it turns out free is still free, even when you adjust it for inflation. Thanks for sitting through that pre-roll ad, though. We appreciate that.
Hey, just like Xbox is going to appreciate the extra 10 bucks they're going to get out of you to play Starfield. Papa Spencer going to be swimming in avocado toast after their newly announced price of $70 for new game releases that kicks in. That will include some of their biggest titles like Starfield, Redfall, and Forza Motorsport.
This follows several other publishers moving their new releases to $70, not to mention Sony raising the price of the PS5. And Nintendo over there somehow charging $350 for an Android tablet that came out in 2017.
But it's got an OLED screen.
So bright. Oh my god.
With prices going up across the board, it seemed only a matter of time until Xbox realized they were leaving money behind. But even though everybody's doing it, are these price increases fair? No. We'll look over the history of game pricing to see how the $70 price point compares to what games have cost before.
Yeah, I wrote that out and I was like, well, there's no such thing when it comes to the world of the market, but hey, whatever.
That's true.
People still like to think about it that way. And then we'll address the scariest question of them all now that Xbox is raising game prices. How long until they raise the price of Xbox hardware itself? And then the even scarier question, when are they going to raise the price of Game Pass?
We're going to wade into some back in my day waters with these game prices, which means it's time to throw to our staff Gen X gamer Brian to cover the details. Good to have you back, Brian, always.
If it happened after 1998, I do not care. When you said back in the day, the hairs on my arm stood up like Spider-Man. Someone's calling me. So yeah, Microsoft announced that starting next year, they are raising prices on all their first party games to $70 US. A Microsoft spokesperson told IGN that the price, quote, reflects the content, scale, and technical complexity of these titles. And they noted that the games will, of course, also be available day one on Game Pass. Not so subtle way of reminding us that, hey, if you subscribe to Game Pass, none of this will affect you. It won't hit you as hard.
Yeah. This price increase suddenly makes Game Pass look like a way better deal, doesn't it?
Yeah, big time. Win-win for Microsoft. They get a bonus 10 bucks out of you, or they convert more of you into Game Pass subscribers, which obviously has been their number one goal for a few years now. The increase, not a huge shock, though. We've seen several publishers in recent years move to 70 bucks back in 2020, the good old days. Publisher 2K announced they were raising the price of NBA 2K21 from $60 to $70 because those roulette wheels are not free. that did spark some backlash from gamers because we've been paying 60 bucks for new AAA games forever now, seemingly forever.
And that's right. That price point has been the norm for at least the last 15 years since the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 era.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago, obviously, and development costs have that means going up. They have skyrocketed over that time span. Polygon had an interesting stat. They reported that in 2005, a AAA game like Madden it generally cost between $25 and $35 million to make. That is no longer the case today. It's more like $75 to $100 million. So obviously that's triple according to my math at least. And in lieu of raising the consumer price, we have seen developers do all kinds of things to recoup costs. That's why you've seen microtransactions, obviously, and DLC, stuff like that.
Yeah, it worked, by the way. They recouped those costs. The industry is showing record profits, which it can make the conversation about game prices a little complicated, but we'll get into that later.
But the guiding principle behind all of this is that the market is not driven by the cost of a good. It is driven by what the market will tolerate. People tend to tolerate price increases when they perceive getting more value.
Yeah, because of that, new generations of console hardware are a convenient time to raise prices. We perceive that the games are getting bigger and better, so price increases just make sense. Xbox even leaned into this perception, referencing the, quote, content scale and technical complexity of their upcoming games.
Yeah, that claims a little bit bunk in context, though. Like, what games have come from Xbox Game Studios that have content scale and technical complexity beyond what we've seen already in $60 games? I guess Starfield is the obvious pick, slightly reinforced by the fact that it won't be supported on last-gen consoles, so that definitely gives it a little bit more of the more bells and whistles aura. It's obviously no coincidence that Starfield is the first game shipping at this price, but beyond that, that excuse fizzled out. I mean, Avowed, Everwild, Redfall, they look cool for sure, but technically they don't seem like they're on some amazing new level, not yet anyway. right?
It's pretty clearly a talking point, even if it's an obvious one. It's not like they could say everybody else is doing it, so we might as well too.
Yeah, it's an unavoidable trend, unfortunately, but it was bound to be. We've seen Sony, Ubisoft, and Take-Two Interactive all price some new games at $70. IGN said that Sony even discussed going higher than that, and they probably could.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah. Lawrence. Xbox boss Phil Spencer has been alluding to a price hike lately, too, a lot.
Yeah, Phil's been getting us all lubed up for this. In October, during a Wall Street Journal conference, he said, "I do think at some point we'll have to raise the prices on certain things, but going into this holiday, we thought it was important to maintain the prices. They don't want to rock the boat yet during the holiday shopping season." He did say that while they've kept prices stable on things like games, consoles, and subscription services, he admitted, "I don't think we'll be able to do that forever." And considering how much money Microsoft has been spending acquiring all these studios, pretty inevitable. We knew this was coming. I think, though, it's harder nowadays to jack up the prices, because back in the day, you could say, "Hey, we're going from 8-bit to 16-bit. It's two times the bits we're jacking up the prices on you." But now it's just, you know.
It's an interesting economic experiment, Game Pass is. Whether or not Game Pass is economically viable in the long run remains to be seen, especially as, again, development costs have been going up and up.
Sean Layden, the former CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment America, has claimed that the economics of Game Pass only work with 500 million subscribers. So last year, he told GamesIndustry.biz that, quote, "It's very hard to launch a $120 million game on a subscription service charging $9.99 a month."
Which comes back to the cost of a AAA game. Let's dig a little deeper into history and see just how quickly game costs have risen over the years.
Ooh, this is my
forte. Yeah, this is Brian's time to shine.
I paid $50 for Double Dragon in 1988, so it has been around this level. That's like $500 now. I don't know what that means. Even though the standard for games settled around 50 in the 90s, they could be volatile. Alan Johnson, who is a marketer at Warner Brothers Games, shared a very interesting ad flyer, actually a bunch of them, for games from the 90s. Sega Genesis games were $49.99, all the way up to a Garfield game that cost nearly $90.
Wow.
Garfield, huge back then. I don't know if it included lasagna or what, but SNES games like NBA Hangtime, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 were listed at $69.99. Nintendo 64 games were well over $70. Killer Instinct Gold, Star Fox, GoldenEye, retailing, at least in this flyer, $79.99, and that was a real $79.99 back in the day. That was birthday and Christmas.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what does the real mean versus now, Brian? I'm not sure. Just for fun, let's adjust that for inflation. So Killer Instinct Gold, released in 1996, adjusted for inflation, $80 would be more than $142 today.
See, that's what I mean. That was a real $79.99. In fairness, that title scene is pretty hype, though.
Yeah, it justifies the cost. That's that sense of newness we need to pay $80 for a game. That sweet title screen. Those orchestra hits come in. Oh, damn. You know, it's all well and good to adjust numbers for inflation. That typically happens anytime a game price moves anywhere. But we're all graduates of clown math, damn it. I got my cap and gown and it keeps honking on me. We can dig a little deeper.
You bet we will. Let's compare to the last time game price standards went up from $50 to $60, which we pinned to the 2005 launch of the Xbox 360. The median income in the United States in 2005 was $58,000 that year.
And now games are shifting from $60 to $70, while the median income is $70,784. Technically, that number's from 2021, but yeah, close enough.
So that means from 2005 to now, the median income has gone up 22%, while game prices have only gone up 16%. So technically... That means wages have outpaced even this newer, higher price.
Yeah, bit of an aside here, but this is kind of interesting. If you look further back, you see a way more exaggerated split between game costs and median income. So let's go back to 1996, when America was great again. The year Metallica released Load, by the way. Actually, that was short-haired Metallica, so that's not a good Metallica album. It's not like it was Master of Puppets or anything. Anyway, by the way, the median income in the U.S., just $35,492.
Everybody must have been skipping work to play Killer Instinct Gold at home. How are you going to go to work after you see that title screen? Damn! It's never going to get better than this.
All right, but if you compare 1996 to now, median income has increased by 99.4%. That's awesome. And if you assume the more gentle standard of $50 for games back in 96, that means that game prices only increased by 40% since then. And geez, for the more expensive games, that means median income has doubled while game prices haven't changed at all. And in some cases, they've even gone down.
That's right. So basically, gaming was way harder to afford in 1996 than in 2005. But games now are the most affordable than they've ever been, since wages have risen faster than the price of games. But this is all in the United States, of course. That doesn't sting any less if you're on the leaner side of that median income line, though.
Yeah, just because all the math points that way doesn't mean you have to like this or accept it or feel good about it. You're allowed to be pissed off. We give you permission. The problem is, despite games trending towards affordability, game companies still make record profits, like we said before. And that's because of a few factors, starting with scale. You know, there's some things in here that aren't quite nefarious. Tons more people play games now than they did in the 90s or even the aughts.
Now, the aughts also introduced DLC, our favorite, which not only became a significant moneymaker, it's become the moneymaker.
Yeah, and here's one example that really illustrates that. Last year, a whopping 61% of Activision Blizzard's revenue came from microtransactions. They made $5.1 billion in net in-game sales. What is that? That's everything from World of Warcraft subscriptions, skins, loot boxes, items in Warzone, and Overwatch. Digital distribution has also allowed people to keep more of the revenue from a game sale. Digital storefronts are swimming in money, while the retailer GameStop has declined so much as a business, it just went through another round of layoffs on top of generally being a speculative investment meme. That's their business model right now.
Yeah, so why are they raising the price of games now? Well, it's no secret that microtransactions are very unpopular. They regularly spark backlashes from gamers nowadays, especially when they're in full price games. Gosh, remember the massive hate that Battlefront 2 got in 2017?
It deserved it too, Lawrence. Real bad. So this could be an attempt by the industry to raise more cash the old-fashioned way, the cash register with the full price. Or they could be looking around seeing massive inflation everywhere else in the economy and decided that it's time for video games to get in on the act. It's probably a combination of all of these things.
Yeah, based on the timing, all they had to do was look at other people moving in front of them and see that the audience, you know, they weren't too rattled by it. Most people kind of accepted it. So yeah, now, like we said before, Xbox gets more revenue and Game Pass looks like a better value in comparison.
Which begs the next question. When will Xbox raise prices on Game Pass and consoles? Brian, it's going to happen, so when?
January 1st, 2023. Just after.
Wow,
just after
right away. Okay.
Everyone's opened their present. No, I think, honestly, feels unlikely they'll raise prices on Xboxes or Game Pass until the Activision Blizzard King merger goes through, or it does, or if it gets turned down by one of the million regulators looking at it. Sony explicitly called out the leverage that Microsoft would have with Call of Duty exclusivity when it comes to console sales, so raising prices on Xbox consoles now would be an immediate reminder of the negative implications of exclusivity that Microsoft wants to avoid. So they don't want to immediately signal, like, hey, we're going to jack up prices immediately once we get this. So they don't want to signal that yet. Wait a couple of years.
Yeah, right. Yes. After the 10-year deal expires or whatever, which, you know, it's probably going to be the same thing for Game Pass. If they were to raise prices right now or even in the next year, that would start a lot of uncomfortable discussions about how suddenly people realize their entire libraries are held captive by Microsoft subscription fee, especially since that would theoretically be Game Pass's first price adjustment. That would kind of send ripples through, I think. Microsoft definitely wouldn't want that buzz happening while arguing to world governments that they would be kind and gracious owners of several billion-dollar franchises.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Now, when it comes to after the ABK merger goes through or doesn't, we can apply the same logic that usually applies with traditional game price increases.
Yeah, you'd need some kind of new generation moment, some massive new value add that reworks the way that you think about Game Pass. Maybe Elder Scrolls 6 or Call of Duty. Xbox would probably raise the price a few months before that, so it becomes Elder Scrolls 6 for $70 or Game Pass for $20.
Yeah, and if we arbitrarily decide that Elder Scrolls 6 is the tentpole that they'll raise prices around, and given that it's the next game that Bethesda's going to ship after Starfield, it's tech, 3.5 years onto that, maybe like 2026, 2027 time, they could start raising prices?
Yeah, that timeline could match up with the new generation of Xbox hardware from Microsoft as well. So, yeah, that could add up.
New console, new Elder Scrolls. Something tells us a lot of people would be okay with a price increase for that. I think they probably would.
Probably. I mean, they'd probably be okay with it now, which leads me to this question. I like this one. I'm going to flip the script on all of it. Okay. And give Microsoft some bad ideas. How much would you be willing to pay for Game Pass as it is right now?
Oh, gosh. 2025, pretty easy. I mean, the value is great. I mean, it's maybe as much as 30. After 30, I would have to, start eating sandwiches or something.
I think they're going up to $20 or $25. And I think that's going to happen in the next year or two. Ooh. I think Game Pass is going up probably in 2023 or 2024. I think we're going to get it long before Elder Scrolls 6. Unless inflation dies down, which hopefully it's kind of, sort of, maybe dying down right now. So if that dies down, then they have no reason to do it. But if it keeps going up, they're going to be like, it's inflation! And then they raise the price.
That makes sense, yeah. Especially since games are going up around it.
If they put all the Dragon Quest games on it, I would pay $50 a month for the rest of my life, especially if they imported 10.
I would pay $40 for it every month now, I think, because it's kind of wormed its way into every platform that I play games on. Mm. I got it on, the Series X in the living room, have it on my PC here, and then I have it on my Steam Deck when I travel. So it is that sort of like Switch-like experience, except it actually scales up instead of just being the Switch all the time. And that's kind of what I've wanted, is that unified experience that can look modern and also travel everywhere. So that's kind of the value for me. And I think the more Microsoft leans into that, if they get people using cloud through their phones and stuff like that, and they really get people using all those services and they kind of become people's one shop across all their screens, I think they could probably get $40 a month out of people. Not everyone, but some people. They'll probably invent some obnoxious tiered service, right? Where they don't have to actually raise prices. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
They'll keep you'll just be basic member at 15, but if you want access to I don't know, I wonder how they're going to split that out. Like, if you want the actual 4K upgrades to games, that's the pro level. I guess that's what Stadia tried to do.
Day and date might be the highest tier.
Oh, you have to pay $40 for day one, mm-hmm. Starfield or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is going to get so complicated.
Hey, here are some fine gamers that signed up for the Inside Games Pass. That isn't the worst. Ryan Bearberry, Kyle Heaton, the Creatures with Nerds Brews Gaming, and Christopher Glavin.
Yeah, I've got some patrons that are going to be real confused when, we don't send them Starfield codes. Crab Foam, Rooker, Cap Coldblood, Sean McLaughlin, and David Milne. Thank you very much for your support.